Are you guys ready to get in the Word? Amen. Let's get in the Word. Mark chapter 4. Let's go there first. I'm not going to read all this tonight, but I want to just pick up at verse 13, Mark chapter 4, verse 13. And we've been talking about the parable of the sower, and this is, you'll see here that Jesus is explaining that, and many of you that have your red letter Bible, you'll see the red here. Verse 13, and he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes and immediately takes away the word that was sown into their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who hear the word and immediately receive with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, so endure only for a time. Afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for other things, enter and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But there are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Father, tonight I thank you for your word, and I thank you, Father, as we enter into a time of discipleship, Father, and Lord, to understand what it means to be a disciple of Christ, but Lord, also what it means to make a disciple. Father, give us wisdom in this hour. Give us great revelation of your word, and Father, just teach us, Lord, through your word, how to make disciples. Lord, I pray in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, I got to do this, though, and I need volunteers real quick. Hey, come here, Justin, come here. You're going to be my cross. You're going to be my cross tonight. So I need four volunteers, quickly. Don't everybody move at once. I know it's Thursday. I'm not going to keep you long tonight, I promise. Grace, you stand right here. You stand right here. Okay, and you stand right here. You're the, go a little wider. You're the cross. So that he makes, because he's tall. Amen. So real quick, if you guys can't see, get to where you can see. I need another volunteer. Tyler, get up here. Come on, quick. Come on, Angela. Here, you go right there. And you go right here. Come on, JT. Now, you guys remember, you guys don't need this because you remember, right? You remember everything we did. So we've been talking about the parable of the sower, and we've been talking about discipleship. Now, just to point out, this was research that was done 5 or 6 years ago by close to 500 churches. And one of the things that they've kind of discovered that people in church fall into one of these four categories. And so you guys are moving. So we kind of done this twice now. I did it on a flip chart. Then we did the volunteers. And so right here we have the first block. Does anybody remember what the first block was? Does anybody remember that? EG. The initials are EG. Exploring God. So we have in the process of discipleship, if you don't, write this down, because this is good, because everybody in here is going to be a disciple maker. Amen. Everybody in here is going to raise somebody up. Somebody's going to come under you, but you've got to see the tier. And like I said, we're going to understand what Jesus is talking about in Mark chapter 4. So we have people here that are exploring God. They might be people that are coming to church. They might be, a lot of times people can come to church. I'm testing it out, seeing how it works. I'm coming in. Is it hot in here, by the way? Can somebody crank the heat down just a couple decimals? It's hot. Amen. My cross went half on me. There we go. We're back up. So we have EG right here. We have people that are exploring God. These are people, honestly, they're not saved. They've not made a decision one way or another. But there was another group of people we talked about. You guys remember? What was this person over here? You guys remember? This person was far away from God. They haven't even made it into the church, right? So we understand that there are people that are far away from God. We have a responsibility, the church, to get the gospel to them. But once they come into the church, a lot of times, many times, people are here that they're exploring God. They're wanting to learn about church. They're inquisitive. They have questions, a lot of questions. Does anybody get asked questions if you're a Christian? Yeah, well, you know, what is the earth flat? You'll get all kinds of things. You know, it's a flat earth. You know, don't you believe that? You know, don't, you know, anyway. So, but anyway, here, so, and in this place where exploring God, this is a place of fellowship. This is where they're coming in and they're learning, they're talking to people. But what we ultimately want to do is we want to get them what? We want to get them saved. So get your tablet. You need to take notes, Brother Stephen. Look at your notes. So we want to get, now, well, I'm going to cover that in a second. So we move to this spot here where they come in and they ultimately get saved, right? So we're working to get people to salvation. And this whole line, think about this, this is discipleship. They're here, they're fellowshipping. Ultimately, we want them to be able to hear the Word of God. Where they get saved, they give their hearts to the Lord. You don't have to put your arms up anymore, but you make a great cross. So this is kind of, this is not a place or a space where they're at. This is what we want to do. We want to get people saved. The Great Commission. We want to share the Word with people. Amen. And, you know, real soon, we're going to go through that probably in the next week or so to make sure people understand how to lead somebody to the Lord. Amen. To walk somebody through salvation. The Scriptures that you personally can know and use to walk. You can, you know, pray with people on the phone or however it might be. So we move into the next box, which is, I think Brother Greg said it, so we got exploring God. The next block we have BG, beginning in God. So beginning or believing in God. Now, I want you to see something here very quickly because what I said last week, there's a simple truth that people have to go from one tier to another tier, from exploring God to believing in God. The one thing people have to have the revelation of is the grace of God. Because until they walk into an understanding that my God, because people will try to do it on their own. You guys, this is so important to see, and this is what Jesus is talking about. People will try to, I can be saved on my works. I can be saved, you know, if I just do this or if I just do that, I'm a good person. Has anybody ever heard that? I certainly wouldn't go to hell. Had somebody recently say, well, anyway, I don't even go there. But, so we're moving through a place where there's the grace of God. That's one of the things we talked about. We talked about the different levels that happen, that people begin to get the revelation that God is graceful. Amen? And that happens, you know, salvation, once you get saved, you begin to learn even more about God's grace. Amen? You read His Word. You open up His Word. You're like, I didn't know it said that. I didn't know that was in the Word. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You're like, oh, wow, that fits me. Or, yeah, I've been dealing with this or I've been dealing with that. So we have this place beginning in God or believing in God. We could say believing in God. And this is where a relationship's cultivated. You're beginning to learn about God. You're learning about what it means to be in relationship with Him. Maybe, you know, and ideally you're coming in fellowship with the church. And we as the church, we need to help people grow in relationship. Amen. That's why we do life groups. That's why we do a lot of different things. Amen. So do you guys remember, so we go from here to here. There's grace. What takes us to this place from believing in God to, what's this spot? You guys remember? Okay, yes. You're right, Brother Stephen. So this spot, believing in God to a relationship where you're close with God. And this is what I'm going to talk about tonight. I'm going to talk about discipleship because this is where we have the ships, right? We have fellowship, relationship, we have discipleship. And I believe that's where many of us are at right now. We're disciples of Christ, and we're going to make disciples. So we've grown where we're close to God. Amen? That's kind of like the third phase. And what happens from this phase to this phase, from 2 to 3, God's Word is supreme, and it becomes the authority for a believer. People see God's Word as truth. Amen? You guys with me? God's Word, you know, I got saved. I'm beginning to understand God's Word that, you know, I am saved. Amen? And in our last place, we go from close to God to, okay, Lordship, yes, God-centered. Amen. So we move into this place where He's Lord of my life. Amen. And ultimately, this is the spectrum where we're trying to get people into this 3-4 area category. Amen. We're trying to get people through the phase, right? They're no longer exploring God. They receive salvation. You know, they're beginning in God. They're excited about the things of the Lord. Now they're close to God. They're beginning to have a relationship. And this area, from close to God to God-centered, what was the area that brought that into giving? And it's not just your money. It's your time, your talents, and your treasures. Amen. That you know, I'm all in. God, you know, I'm all in. Every you know, God, you know, when I move into a God-centered life, it's like I look and say, you know, my life belongs to God, you know. And that's where we're moving to. Amen. And what did I say about all these areas, though? You guys remember what I said? We're always growing. Amen. We you guys can go ahead and sit down now. Thank you guys very much. Give your volunteers. I won't do that again. Does that make sense to you guys? I mean, does it make sense when we begin to talk about the parables, when we begin to talk about, you know, understand that in this word, they all heard and received the word. And I want to focus tonight on discipleship because I think it's very important for us to see this in the word of God. And as I studied and I listened to some things today, I just, you know, my heart, you know, as a pastor, is truly to make disciples. If you were to ask me, you know, what pastor do you desire to see kings be? It's not only that I'm making disciples, but it's that you're making disciples. Because the only way we get the gospel out, the only way the gospel of Jesus Christ multiplies, is if God's people say yes. God, you know, I'll share this good news, or I'll bring somebody to a life group, or I'll bring somebody to a place where they can hear the gospel, or a place where people are coming together in relationship. Amen. And that's the beautiful thing about kings. And that's honestly I asked the Lord today, you know, several things, and I got a list of things. Side note, you need to ask God. Sometimes the reason people don't have the things that they need is because they don't ask. You may think of it. You may think, well, you know, but God, I can't ask that. That seems selfish. God, I can't. I shouldn't talk to God that way. But sometimes, anybody know what I'm talking about? Because today I was sitting and I got up this morning. I was on the 8 a.m. prayer. I somehow missed the 6 a.m. prayer. You know, praise Jesus. My alarm just did not go off, and I don't know. Anyway, I was on the 8 a.m. prayer, but as I was praying today, I just begin to, you know, to ask the Lord, you know, Lord, and begin to talk to the Lord, and I felt like, you know, it was almost like a breaking loose that God's waiting. He's waiting on us to move into a place of asking. And a lot of times we don't ask because, you know, we think, well, I'm not good enough. I've got this, I've got that, or I've said that. And you know, and first and foremost, I mean, Lord, I repent. I repent that I don't come to you and ask. You guys with me? Because you know, we have not because we ask not. We hit a miss with God because we don't ask. And that's found in James. James is a great book, but we don't receive things from the Lord because we don't ask. I have enough, Lord, or things are good enough. And you know, everybody here, I mean, you know, you're blessed, right? Everybody, you think about it, you're blessed. You live in a blessed nation. Do you guys know? Anyway, I'll cover that later maybe. But we're blessed. But just hear that, even I just felt quickened in my spirit. You've got to ask. I mean, I sat down today and I wrote down probably as I started my list. You ever start a list? Well, my list kept growing, and I was like, well, that seems silly. You know, it's like, you know, one of the things I put on my list, it was something that I wanted. I mean, there's a few things that I wanted, but you know, even on my list, I just share one thing because my list. I was like, I want a four-wheeler. You know, I was like, what? I mean, I think that sounds kind of weird. I mean, you think that sounds kind of weird, right? But, like, I want a four-wheeler. You know, I was like, I would like to be able to drive a four-wheeler through the woods, you know? And I was like, I'm going to ask for a four-wheeler, you know. But I want you to see, I want you to see that God cares. He cares. He cares about what you care about. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. It's not weird, right? You guys with me? It's not weird to talk to God. It's not weird to ask God. People ask God for, God, I need a car, or I need this, or I need that. It's not weird to go to your Heavenly Father. You know, you ever go to your mom or dad? I mean, did you ever go to them? I'd like this or I'd like that. And what'd your mom or dad do? They give it to you, So anyway, your Heavenly Father loves you. Amen. So you got to ask. I want to focus on this tonight. Let's go back to Mark chapter 4, in verse 7 and verse 18 and 19, and I want to focus on this because I want you to see something that the enemy truly is trying to pull people out of discipleship. He's trying to pull people away from the church, and it's so important that as a believer, as a Christian, if you don't realize what the enemy's tactics are and what he's up to, you can easily be taken out, or things can shift, and you'll be like, "What in the world happened? What in the world happened?" But I want you to see this in Mark chapter 7 first, and it says, and you guys with me on Mark 4 still? It says, "And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it out, and it yielded no crop." In verse 18 and 19, Mark 4:18-19, it says, "Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things enter and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." And I want you to see something in your Bible. Just make a side note. You see the word thorns. You see the word thorns. Maybe just kind of underline that. Yeah, thorns is good. And underline that in your Bible because you're thinking, why am I underlining that? I want to show you something. Take your Bibles, go to Ezekiel chapter 2. Ezekiel 2. Luke 10:17, it's an interesting passage because Jesus has other disciples in Luke chapter 10. And just before I get to Ezekiel 2, Jesus has other disciples, and in Luke 10, his disciples, they return and they say, "Jesus, we have authority. We have authority. We went out, and even the demons are subject to your name." I mean, it's very fascinating. But you'll see that in Luke chapter 10, where he sent the 70 out, and they return, and they're like, "Jesus, even the demons they leave, and by the mention of your name, you've given us a true authority, and God, he's done that. Jesus has given us his name. It's a weapon. Many times we've taught this in this house. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds." We understand that the name of Jesus is a name that we're given that every believer can carry. It's a part of your arsenal. In the name of Jesus, I command you to come out, right? It's the name in which we can, tell demons to flee, tell demons to go. And ultimately, please understand, that's what we're working against. Most people, if you were to ask even a younger generation of people today, is this a supernatural world? They would say yes. They would say yes because they've grown up with a lot of stuff on TV with magic and Harry Potter. And I'm not here to rip and tear things apart, but they've grown up seeing the supernatural from their cartoons to movies, and even witchcraft is at an all-time high. I mean, I said that last week that the Presbyterian Church is actually outnumbered now by witches, that the Wicca has grown almost as greater now in America. And people are, joining covens of witches. And, that stuff exists here. Not to focus on that. But you have to understand that we live in a spiritual world. And there are demonic attacks. And so Jesus is even saying, you know, it's so fascinating because even the demons are subject to us in your name. So please understand, you as a believer have the authority of the name of Jesus. You have the authority of Jesus. But see, Jesus, you know what he says in verse 19, he says, "Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by means hurt you." So Jesus is saying, look, I give you as a disciple, I give you authority. You trample on scorpions, right? I don't want you to see something. I want to show you this in Ezekiel chapter 2 because it's not a physical scorpion. You know, you ever read a passage and you're like, well, scorpion, what's that all about? You know, what he's referencing is demons. And most people don't understand that a third of the angels have fallen. They're in this realm. So when we're talking about discipleship and we're talking about making disciples, you have to understand that there's a war that's going on. There's a war to pull people away from the things of God. There's a war to make people offended. There's a war to make people hate God. Who hates God? The enemy hates God. The devil hates God. So he will work against the power of God. But you have to see something. He has given us the power to trample on scorpions and serpents. Amen? You know, it's not like we're running around, scorpion. It's not like we're running around stomping on scorpions, right? You read that in the text, you're like, scorpions, what? You know, thorns. It's not like you're walking by, you know, as a Christian, you're walking by a thorn. It's like, you know, I got a thorn in my arm. You know, those that have hunted this week, I mean, you go through that briar patch and it's like, no, I don't. You know, and next thing you know, it goes through four layers of clothes. How does that happen? The bush was this big. And then you have a mark that you ripped your jacket. All the hunters said, amen, amen, amen. All the hunters said amen. So it's not like there's physical thorns that we're walking around and we're seeing. So when you see the reference of what Jesus is talking about in Mark 4, he's talking about spiritual attack. He's talking about he's talking about demons. You guys with me? You ever thought about this? Have you ever read it like this? And it's like, scorpions, what's a scorpion? Why is there a scorpion right here? What? So Jesus is saying, look, you have authority over demonic things. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 2. You guys there? Verse 2. It says, "Then the Spirit entered me, and when he spoke to me, and he set me on my feet, and he heard him who speak to me, and he said to me, Son of man, I am sending you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation, that has rebelled against me, that their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day, for they are not respectful and they're stubborn children. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus say the Lord God, and for them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are a rebellious house." So he's pointing something out here. This is a rebellious people. This is a rebellious people. "Yet they will know that a prophet has been among them, and you, son of man, do not be afraid of them." So he's speaking to the child of God. He says, "Son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns," here we see it again, right? "Briars and thorns are with you, and you will dwell among scorpions. Do not be afraid of their words or dismayed by their looks, for they are a rebellious house." So he's referencing again, look, there's a spiritual attack. And, you know, and I think sometimes people will get clueless over this stuff. We don't, you know, I'm not intimidated by demons. I'm not afraid of demons. I mean, you know, it's just something, you know, honestly. You know, the first time I went to cast a demon out of someone, it was so fascinating because I was by the book. You know, I had read Derek Prince's book. I had read it. I was ready to cast demons out. And I had read books where, you know, it's like, you know, you got to take them to the back room and you might be an hour, you might be 2 hours, you might be 3 hours. And you know, and I'm like, and that never did make sense to me because why do I want to go back and wrestle with something with any amount of time? And I remember that evening that I went to cast a demon out of someone. And literally the facial features of that individual, everything changed, everything shifted. And he threw himself back, and he looked at me and he said, "Ah, "You're Pastor Brad." His voice changed and everything. And I thought, "What in the world is that?" It's funny. Really, it's funny, guys. I was like, "What is that?" And I had a couple Hawaiian guys with me. Praise Jesus. And he was like ready to fight. And literally, one of my Hawaiian brothers reached over, grabbed him by the neck, kind of the neck shoulder, and said, "Come on, it's time for you to leave," and escorted him out. But the one thing that he did, and he said this, he's like, "Oh, you're Pastor Brad." And I'm like, you know, I was commanding the demon to go, thinking, you know, everything's going to be fine. You know, nothing happened. Nothing happened at that point. And I was like wondering, why? You know, because we have the authority, right? We have the authority in Christ's name to cast demons out, right? And please, I'm telling you this not to be alarmed, not to be scared. And some 2 weeks later, this person actually came into the church, very calm, and he sat down. Had an altar call at the end. He walks up and he says, "I need to recommit my life to Jesus Christ." And I was like, at first I was thinking, here we go again. You know, that's your normal response. And it was like, and it wasn't anything like that. And the man gave his heart to the Lord that evening. And you know, I say all this for you to understand that God has given us a true authority to walk with here on earth. And people will find themselves under attack. I'm not saying they're possessed by demons. They can be oppressed by a demon spirit. Take your Bibles. I want to show you something real quick, because a lot of times, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's touch this one tonight too. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Has anybody ever heard of Paul's thorn in his flesh? Everybody's like, what was it? Was Paul blind? Was he this? Was he that? I want to show you something in Scripture real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Because, you know, some people, you know, they believe that Paul was under persecution by the Judaizers, and, you know, it could have been his hearing, could have been his eyes. 2 Corinthians 12, 7. It says, "And at least I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation. A thorn in the flesh was given to me." A thorn. So where else do we see we see thorns and thistles? We see that in Mark chapter 4. Are you guys seeing something here? And then it goes on to say, "A thorn in the flesh was given to me." And what is it going to say after that? A messenger of Satan, which is a fallen angel. So Paul's thorn was a fallen angel. Wasn't that he was possessed? Wasn't that he, you know, you guys with me tonight? Because it wasn't that Paul was possessed, but there was a demonic spirit that came in and it said it buffeted him. It would be there to just kind of mess. I don't know if it was just messing with him or whatever the account. And he prayed three times. And what did Jesus say? He says, "My grace is sufficient for you." Amen. But I want you to see something in this scripture here. Paul, what was his thorn? It was a demonic spirit. The thorn in his flesh was a demonic spirit. Yeah? You guys see that? So I just wanted you to see that. So, hallelujah. Numbers 33:55. I'll let you guys get there. And I've read a lot of text, you know, and I think sometimes, and I've read that because, you know, many people will say, well, you know, that's my thorn in the flesh. Paul's thorn was a demonic spirit. It was a spirit. It was a spirit. Psalms 33:55. It says, "But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall be with those whom you let remain, shall be irritants in your eyes and thorns in your sides, that they shall harass you in the land where you dwell." Please understand, God wrote the book. So he's taking things where you see thorns and you see thistles, you see scorpions, you see serpents. You see these things These are things that I want you to see out of scriptures that they're the demonic attacks that come upon people. Why is this important to understand through discipleship? Do people come under attack in discipleship? When you get close to God and there's lordship, do you still come under attack? Yeah. Yeah. You never understand that along that path, that when you get in this place of discipleship and you begin to get closer with God and you grow in God, it doesn't mean that these attacks won't come. It just means that God has given you, He's given you a way out. He's given you Him. You know, I think it was Robert Morris. He shared this story, and it was so good. And he was at the beach with his wife, and he shares a personal testimony that in his early 20s, he struggled with lust, and he struggled with it. He said it was something I struggled with, and he said, I went to one of my pastors, and he was one of the founders of Gateway Church, and he said, I went in, and I met with the pastor, and he said, I figured I would go through counseling with the pastor and all that, and he said, the pastor got up, he come over, he grabbed me by the head, and he said, Jesus, give him a passion for you, and he walked out. He said, I thought, I'm going to go through counseling, I'm going to do this. And then at that point, he goes on to tell the story. He's like, the next day, he was like, something in me began to shift, because if I begin to get passionate about Jesus, I begin to get passionate about being a disciple, making a disciple. If I get passionate about these things, these other things are just going to go. And he said that's how the pastor prayed for me. And he said, it's funny. He said many years later, he said, I had conquered all that. God helped me. I've been delivered. I've been set free. Talked about some of the things he went through in his early 20s and how God delivered him and set him free. And he said, my wife and I were sitting on a beach. And he said, lust, understand something about lust. Lust can come in many forms. And he said, my wife and I were sitting on these lounge chairs. And he said, a lady walks by. And he said, I was sitting with my wife, and she walks by. And he said, this is Robert Morris. It's not my story, but it's a good story. And he said, I just started to watch the lady. And his wife taps him on the shoulder and says, what are you doing? And he said, that lady had ice cream. She was carrying ice cream and eating the ice cream. And you guys all right? He said, the lady was eating ice cream, and he said, I was looking at the ice cream, and he said, my wife taps me on the shoulder and says, look, there she is. You're right. She's eating ice cream. Go find out where she got it. I'd like to have some ice cream too. Because she trusted her husband. They had built a relationship, and they begin to grow in those things. But, it's interesting because you have to guard your heart. We talked about it in men's. You have to guard your mind. You have to guard your heart. These are things that you will always have to guard. Amen. In life, these things will rise up, and you have to know, you have to know that, hey, there's somebody that you can lean on. The one thing about discipleship is that if you will work to be accountable to a friend, please understand, even as a pastor, I don't care to be anybody's accountability partner. I don't care to help mentor people, but I don't chase people. If you want to be mentored, you want to be accountable, I'll help you with that. But it's not my job or responsibility to chase after you. But if Stephen sends me a message, Pastor Brad, I need prayer around this, what am I going to do? I'm going to pray. Or I'm going to call him up and say, let's pray together. Amen. Let's believe the Lord. Amen. Let's put our feet to this. Let's believe the Lord. And the Lord's going to do something in it. And I think that's the heart. That's the shift of what God's wanting to do in this hour. Amen. And I believe everybody in here, you're going to be great disciple makers. I believe many of you. Angela, I feel like God's putting people into your life. I mean, just even praying about your friend. I mean, I don't know the situation, but I just felt like even this week how God is bringing people, random people. You don't even, where are they coming from? It's the Lord. It's the Lord's Lisa at the gas station. Somebody walks up to her and has a question about revelation. She's driving to the Revelation class to hear about end times. And guys, God's up to something, amen? You know, and it's like God's bringing people right in front of us. And it's so important that we don't shift away, or that we don't turn our back. But, you know, we pray, amen? And I mean, just even a prayer of agreement. I need to ask. I've been praying for that lady this week, you know, that God would move in that situation. And he will, amen? Ultimately, it's up to other people in their choices, amen? But that God would move. Three things. I'm gonna give you these three things, because I want you to see this in Mark chapter 4, 18 and 19. And do you guys see that, though? The text, when Jesus is talking about, he's talking about thorns and thistles. He's talking about scorpions. He's talking about serpents. Those are spiritual things. And these are things sent against the body of Christ. Amen? But we will overcome. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, what do? We overcome. That we love our life not to death. Amen? We overcome. Amen? We're overcomers. Amen? God's children, we're overcomers. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Mark 4:19. In the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. You know, this is the third one that, you know, he's talking about. You know, Miranda talked about it as, you know, the hearts of men. You know, four kinds of hearts, you know, how the seed's sown. You can see this as four kinds of people. And you can also see this as four kinds of attacks where the enemy will attack. Cares of the world. Number one, it says, I wrote this down. Casting all your care upon me, for he cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Let me ask you something. What does casting your cares look like? Because, say this is the care box. That's the care box. And so, that's Jesus, right? I can cat. We all know, right? We can cast our cares upon him. So we go over, and it's like, I'm going to cast all my cares over here. I'm going to put them in the box, and then... And I feel good. I feel good. I feel good. And then we start gravitating back. And you know what we do? We pick up our cares. I'm going to carry my cares. I feel better when I'm carrying my cares. But Jesus is saying something. He's saying, look, cast your cares. Cast your cares. Cast your cares upon me. What the things that trouble you, the things that you know, he goes, no, look, he says, no, cast your cares. Leave them there. Leave him there. But see, ultimately, this is the problem that we get into, even through discipleship. It's like we'll get a revelation. We'll get a breakthrough. And then, you know, we've casted that over. We've given it to Jesus. And then we gravitate, and we gradually move back. And this feels comfortable. This feels comfortable, right? This little, whatever it is, this feels comfortable. So God's warning us. He's, you know, cast your cares. You know, what's your cares? What things... You know, think about cares. Worry? Can you cast worry? Yeah. Can you cast doubt? You can cast that, right? But you have to be mindful not to go pick it back up. You have to be mindful not to pick up the stuff that you've put over there. Amen? Oh, Pastor, I messed up. What do? You cast your cares. You repent. You move back to this. And please understand, we're always growing, guys. We're always growing through the process of discipleship, through the process of becoming a disciple. We're not supposed to carry our cares. You know, you hear people say, you know, Pastor, I care, or I care about this, or I care about that. And you even have to watch about, it means it's not that you don't care for people. Yeah, you care for people. But sometimes people need to be given to Jesus. Amen? You know, sometimes, you know, it's not that you don't help them. It's not that, you know, if they need something, you're not there to support them. But ultimately, you know, the direction of real discipleship is to point people towards Christ. That, you know, when they have something come up, who can they go to? They can go to Jesus, right? They can go to him. Now, if they need something, you're there. You're there. But, you know, there's nothing better when you have somebody that has a testimony. Hey, you know, I had this happen, and this came up. And you know what I did? I went to my word. And my word, it solved my problem. And ultimately, that's what we're trying to do, is we're getting people into the place of becoming a disciple, and you know, fighting with the word. You know, I remember, you know, when we were in Hana, I remember, you know, many times we would get testimonies from the people in the church, and they were like, they would come down to the house, and she's like, no, we went and did this, or we went and did that, or, you know, my kids were sick, and we prayed, and God showed up, amen, and it was like, and I told Miranda, I was like, you know, we've been preaching and teaching this stuff, and you know, as a pastor, you know, my mind was, well, as a pastor, you think you've got to be involved in everything. That's not true. You know, the job of a pastor, a good shepherd, you teach, you train, you give people the tools, amen, that when something comes up, there you are. There you have an answer. There you're able to move into that. Amen? Is everybody tired tonight? It's the night before Thanksgiving. Everybody's got food to cook, right? Everybody's got stuff to do. Amen. Number two, the deceitfulness of riches. Take your Bibles, go to 1 Timothy 6:17. I'm going to be closing here in just a few. 1 Timothy 6:17. I think these are three areas where a lot of people get... where they get tripped up, the cares of the world. You've got to learn to cast your cares. The deceitfulness of riches. 1 Timothy 6:17, it says, command those who are rich in the present age and not to be haughty, nor to trust uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold of eternal life. And, you know, it's interesting because I was, you know, I'd heard this statistic, and that in America, that if you make over approximately $48,000 a year, you're in the top 1% in the world. So how we define riches, think about that. If you make over $48,000, I mean, $48,000 a year, you're in the top percent, 1% of the world in income bracket. It's pretty wild, isn't it, to think that way? The deceitfulness of riches, you know, the rich young ruler, you know, Jesus, you know, told him, you know, give all that you have. And the rich young ruler, why would I have to do that? Well, see, Jesus knew what had his heart. So you have to always, you always have to be on guard. You know, you always have to be on guard that, you know, do you need money? Yes, amen, you need money. Does, you know, can you advance the kingdom of God with money? Yes, amen, you can do that. But you should never allow money to control you. You should never allow money to dictate or drive you to where it's the thing, amen, it's the thing. You know, don't trust in money. Do you need money? Yes. Please hear what I'm saying. You know, I'm thankful. God's blessed my wife and I. I'm thankful. You know, it's, you know, I see money as a tool so much now. You know, and I want to see it even as a greater tool as I get older. You know, I talk with Dr. Morocco today, and I mean, just, you know, personally, some of the things he does as an individual to help people. You know, I'm just like, wow, you know, that's amazing, you know, that you're helping people in this kind of a way, you know, that he, that you one day will be the lender, not the borrower, amen, and that's, and honestly, that's the thing about giving, and that's why we teach giving in here, that, you know, if you become a giver, your heart's never going to be attached to money, amen, you know, when you give a car away, when you give something away, and you know, I brought something tonight to give away, and it's something I bought yesterday, and I'm like, I just bought that, and I brought it away tonight to give it, and I gotta give Brother Greg something, because the Lord spoke to me to give him something, but it's not you tonight that I got to give the thing that I got in the car to, but the Lord spoke to me earlier tonight about, you know, give him that, give away what you picked up yesterday, and it might be, you know, please understand, it might be small, but it was like the Lord was, because in the natural, in my natural self, in my flesh, I don't want to give that. I would rather put it in the freezer. Amen. Anyway, hints. I'm giving hints already. Amen. But But see, that's the thing. Even in the little things, if God has my heart, even in the little things, where I begin to listen, you know, my ear, I'm attentive to what the Lord's saying. So don't let the deceitfulness of riches, you know, I see money as a tool, you know, to build the kingdom. Amen. You know, you can do good things with money. You can do bad things with money. You can build big churches. You can build Las Vegas casinos. I mean, you know, you can do a lot of different things with money. Amen. But you know, don't trust it, don't desire it, and truly don't love it. Don't love money. And the last one, the desire for other things. Matthew 6:31. Take your Bibles, go there real quick. Matthew 6:31. These were three things out of Mark 4:19. Because I want you to see this. I'm tying it all back to discipleship because I do believe these are the things where people get tripped up on in church. You know, they'll get tripped up on, I have to work on such and such time and such and such day. And I shared this, and I'll share this over and over again, because when somebody gets saved, you know, honestly, you know, their boss will call them, and I've said this in here, they'll call them and say, I need you to work Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night, and you know, that Thursday night you have life group, I need you for that shift from 6 to 8 o'clock. Because what's the enemy doing? He's sending an attack. And of course, you know, do you need to work? Yes, absolutely you need to work. So that's where, like, getting counsel and talking with somebody, you know, I have this going on or I have that going on. And we have people, and I've actually fought for people and, you know, called people's employers and said, you know, hey, you can't do this. And this is, well, I don't want to cause a problem. But see, you know, there's a time where we have to have an understanding. You know, when we can give people marked off in other faiths an hour a day to pray in a federal building, but we won't give a Christian a day off to recognize the Sabbath, we have a problem. We have a problem in this nation. And this is stuff, it's happening at colleges. It happens in... praise God, I'm sure in federal buildings, not to name any, but I'm a Christian. Well, you mind your own business. Guys, there's a real enemy. Yeah, are you seeing this? You guys see this? There's a real enemy through this whole process. Matthew 6:31 says, therefore, do not worry. The desires for other things. That was the third one that we're talking about. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He knows what we need. Amen? And please understand me. That's why I said earlier tonight, you've got to ask. He knows what you need. And I believe the desires of your heart. You know, Dr. Morocco told me today, and I just, you know, he asked me, how are you? And I said, Doctor, I'm doing well. And I said, I'm so excited about what God's doing. I'm so excited about God, that the harvest, that we're going to see revival. I'm so excited that in the last 4 years that we've had a buildup in the church, you know, on a Sunday morning, you know, we don't have hardly any seats left. You know, that when we get all the kids and everybody in here, you know, I'm looking around, there's four or five chairs. You know, praise, I'm excited about that. I'm excited about God pouring out His Spirit, amen? But I'm excited about people being raised up and taking the gospel to a Mannington, to a Reevesville, to wherever God would call us to be, to a Parkersburg, West Virginia. You know, we've got people driving 2 hours to come to church. That excites me, because that's hunger, amen? You know, Brian and Erica have been driving a year, an hour and 30 minutes to get to church, because they're hungry. Guys, that's not small. You know, and God he'll do that. He'll put that in people to hunger and desire. Praise Jesus. He cares about your desires. You know, when doctor told me that today, because that's what he told me when he was here last time, and I went up to Brother Jonathan's church, Pastor Jonathan. He said, the Lord's going to give you the desires of your heart. I said, yes, sir. And I want to see the kingdom expand. Fairmont, yeah. Marion County, yeah. West Virginia, amen. Hawaii, amen. We pray for Hawaii. Amen. There's Florida. I talked to an administrator today. He was like, we need a church in Florida. Will you start praying for Florida? Who wants to go to Florida? I'm looking around. Any takers? Yeah, I got a few. It's warmer there. Amen. Amen. You know, it's, you know, we've got to, you know, that's the thing we've got to do. We've got to have eyes to see what the Lord's doing in this hour. And he's going to speak to people. Amen. I'm thankful. I'm thankful. Praise God. You know, doctor said it today, and I listened to his sermon. I don't know if anybody listened to it, but he preached out of 1 Kings 4, and he said that, we're in such a time right now where we have to take the limits off. We have to take the limits off of ourselves because, you know, we're limited by what we ultimately see. You know, it's like, you know, if many people coming into this house, you can say, well, I'm seeing what the Lord's doing, right? Does anybody see that? I see what the Lord's doing, and I see where there could be an explosion, or there could be these kinds of things taking place, and so you got to begin to see it, and even in the spirit, you've got to begin to see it. I seen property 3 years ago, walked that property what we bought 2.5 years ago. I could see it, but when I walked it, it was a seed, and you know, and then I begin to pray. Lord, this is what I'm believing for. You know, why do you want woods? Well, I want woods because I want a place to walk. Why not ask for that, right? I mean, he could have given us 5 acres in town, but there's no woods. You know, there's a creek that runs by the property. I like the fact that there's a creek by the property. You know, I would like to have a piece of property that has a creek, Lord. I ask. And you begin to see it. And that's before I realized, you know, even the lower part of the property was like it was. And then once we cleared it out, it's like, wow, this is actually, you can see through here now. But you begin to see it. And you take the limits off. You know, go into a new year. You know, begin to set your faith now for 2024. You know, what are you believing for? Begin to set your faith now. I would venture to say, I mean, you know, I start fasting the month of December. You know, it's a good time to fast because there's a lot of food, a lot of candy, a lot of bread. I got bread, you know. But, you know, set your faith. You know, carve off time to fast and pray. Amen. You know, Pastor Miranda is starting a class on prayer. If you've ever had questions about prayer, you know, I was one of those guys. I don't know if anybody in here was. When I started praying, I was like 3 minutes, 5 minutes, I'm done. That's how I started in prayer. And then I realized, no, you can pray a lot longer than that. And we started learning about prayer points. You know, Brother Jonathan brought prayer points to Hanan. Then we would have powerful prayer meetings. Then we'd have prayer meetings at the house that we would go to break bread and pray over the food, and we'd have a 3-hour prayer meeting. It was like, you know, we begin to learn how to pray and move as the Holy Spirit. But if you know, take that class, learn about prayer. It's an important, vital weapon for the church. But take the limits off. Be ready moving forward into a new year to take the limits off. God's going to use a lot of people here. I believe everybody. Nobody's exempt. Amen. God's going to use people. Praise God. So we're going to make disciples. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, let's go ahead and stand tonight. Guys, thank you. Happy Thanksgiving. It's 8:30.